Maybe they were just clouds. She couldn't remember the geography of the place well enough to work it out. She sat there, thinking of those peaks. She remembered when once, high in the foothills where a small mountain stream levelled out onto a marshy plateau for a kilometre or so, arcing and swerving and bowing over the sodden, reed-covered land, like an athlete stretching and flexing between games, she had found something which had made that winter day's walk memorable. Ice had been forming in clear, brittle sheets at the side of the flowing stream. She had spent some time happily marching through the shallows of the water, crunching the thin ice with her boots and watching it drift downstream. She wasn't climbing that day, just walking. She had waterproofs on and carried little gear. Somehow, the fact she wasn't doing anything dangerous or physically demanding had made her feel like a young child again. She came to a place where the stream flowed over a terrace of rock from one level of moor down to another, and there a small pool had carved itself into the rock just beneath the rapids. The water fell less than a metre, and the stream was narrow enough to jump. But she remembered that stream and that pool, because there in the circling water, caught beneath the splashing rapids, floated a frozen circle of foam. The water was naturally soft and peaty, and a yellow-white foam sometimes formed in the mountain streams of that area, blown by the winds and caught in the reeds, but she'd never seen it collected into a circle like that, and frozen. She laughed when she saw it. She waded in and carefully picked it up. It was only a little greater in diameter than the distance between her outstretched thumb and little finger, and a few centimetres thick, not as fragile as she had at first feared. The frothy bubbles had frozen in the cold air and almost freezing water, making what looked like a tiny model of a galaxy. A fairly common spiral galaxy like this one, like hers. She held the light confection of air and water and suspended chemicals and turned it over in her hands, sniffing it, sticking her tongue out and licking it, looking at the dim winter sun through it, flicking her finger to see if it would ring. She watched her little rime galaxy start to melt, very slowly, and saw her own breath blow across it, a brief image of her warmth in the air. Finally, she put it back where she had found it, slowly revolving in the pool of water at the base of the small rapids. The galaxy image had occurred to her then, and she thought at the time about the similarity of the forces which shaped both the little and the vast. She had thought, "And which is really the most important?" but then felt embarrassed to have thought such a thing. Every now and again, though, she went back to that thought and knew that each was exactly as important as the other. Then, later, she would go back to her second thoughts on the matter and feel embarrassed again. Fal and Gistra took a deep breath and felt a little better. She smiled and raised her head, closing her eyes for a moment and watching the red sun haze behind her eyelids. Then she ran a hand through her curly blonde hair and wondered again if the distant wavering, unsure shapes over the shimmering water were clouds or mountains. Chapter 9. Shah's World. Imagine a vast and glittering ocean seen from a great height. It stretches to the clear curved limit of every angle of horizon, the sun burning on a billion tiny wavelets. Now imagine a smooth blanket of cloud above the ocean, a shell of black velvet suspended high above the water and also extending to the horizon. But keep the sparkle of the sea despite the lack of sun. Add to the cloud many sharp and tiny lights scattered on the base of the inky overcast like glinting eyes, singly, in pairs or in larger groups, each positioned far, far away from any other set. That is the view a ship has in hyperspace as it flies like a microscopic insect, free between the energy grid and real space. The small, sharp lights on the undersurface of the cloud cover are stars. The waves on the sea are the irregularities of the grid on which a ship, travelling in hyperspace, finds traction with its engine fields, while that sparkle is its source of energy. The grid and the plane of real space are curved, rather like the ocean and the cloud would be around a planet, but less so. Black holes show as thin and twisting waterspouts from clouds to sea, supernovae as long lightning flashes in the overcast. Rocks, moons, planets, orbitals, even rings and spheres hardly show at all. The two killer class rapid offensive units, trade surplus and revisionist, raced through the hyperspace, flashing underneath the web of real space like slim and glittering fish in a deep, still pond. They wove past systems and stars, keeping deep beneath the empty spaces where they were least likely to be traced.